WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. More than 50 people were killed and injured in overnight Russian strikes across Ukraine. The two sides were also unable to complete a planned prisoner exchange, each blaming the other. And ABC's Martha Raddatz in Kyiv spoke with Ukraine's president.
President Zelensky does not believe Vladimir Putin wants peace and is pleading with President Trump to impose stronger sanctions to force the Russian president into real negotiations to stop this war.
Kilmar Abrego Garcia, the Maryland man mistakenly deported to Venezuela, to El Salvador, is back in the U.S., but he's in federal custody. He's facing two charges related to human trafficking. His attorney called them preposterous. Police in Los Angeles used tear gas to disperse protesters after immigration enforcement led to more than 40 arrests. And President Trump told reporters he doesn't have interest in speaking with Elon Musk right now amid their high-profile fallout. This is ABC News. A convicted killer and rapist serving lengthy prison sentence in northern Arkansas is back in custody. He had escaped and was found less than 2 miles from the prison where he broke out. This week, World Pride being celebrated in Washington, D.C., and Marissa Miller, the founder of the National Trans Visibility March, says,
I'm so excited that we're here at World Pride, where we can focus on community and coalition building and just be together in love. You know, our humanity is on the line.
It's a new era in college sports, as colleges and universities can begin paying their athletes millions of dollars as soon as next month. It's after a federal judge signed off on a $2.8 billion settlement. Each school could share up to $20.5 million with athletes over the next year. In college athletics, the University of Texas women's college softball champions beating Texas Tech 10-4 to win the Women's College World Series. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Positive psychology coach Kira Sabin. It is great to have you back.
I love the idea of self-help, but there's also something called community help. We have become so divided. We've forgotten that our neighbor is really nice and makes great cookies and probably yes. has the same concerns on a daily basis that you do. I think that we think things have changed, and I think we just have stopped talking to each other.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Congressman Mark Pocan is here. Are you planning on going out on the road again, having a couple more town halls?
Yes. No, Claire. Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin, so I'm really looking forward to debating Derek. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up. This is important to let people know what's in this bill, because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. As federal electric vehicle incentives face potential rollbacks, a new study is highlighting the burden of gasoline costs on Black and Latino drivers. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
The Fuel Equity Report shows Blacks and Latinos are super users of gasoline, spending on average 15% of their paycheck to fuel their cars. The median household income for Blacks and Latinos in Wisconsin is between $31,000 and $46,000. Dr. Shelley Francis with EV Hybrid Noir says systemic factors like disinvestment in public transportation, economic segregation, and long commute times all contribute to the disproportionate impact.
They're also more likely on average to be driving these older, less fuel efficient cars due to income as well as financing barriers that they may experience.
The study says EV adoption could save Blacks and Latinos an average of $4,900 a year on fuel and maintenance, but barriers like affordability, charging access, and education persist. The report found the top 10% of Black and Latino gasoline users are generally concentrated in smaller cities and rural areas. The study suggests targeted policies to encourage equitable adoption of EV for Black and Latino communities, including enhancing purchase incentives, expanding financing options, and increasing charging infrastructure in communities where top gasoline users live. Francis says addressing the big misinformation gap about EVs is also crucial.
pushing more of those types of stories out there to show like the everyday driver. It's not some fancy person living out in a castle somewhere. And it's just regular folks who are trying to work, make ends meet, and provide for their families.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny, highs in the upper 70s today. Slight chance of a thunderstorm this afternoon. Chance of a storm tonight with a low around 55. Showers and thunderstorms on Sunday with a high near 75. Clearing out tomorrow night with a low around 52. Monday, showers in 67.
It's 60 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, oil and gas industry expert Matt Randolph, also known as Mr. Global, will be here to talk about all things energy in Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. 97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
To New Wisco Weekend for June 7th and 8th. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Summer is here. The hazy, lazy days can bring with them many dangers, from accidents during outdoor activities to burns to insect bites and medical emergencies. That's why our theme this week is all about the ways that you can stay safe while having fun in the summer. Our cover story shows how one family is holding their personal tragedy up as an example and an attempt to get EpiPens in the hands of all first responders. Civic Media's Melissa Kay met up with the Miller family and shares that interview with us. That's coming up in about 20 minutes. Commentator Amanda Nimmer rants for a bit about the dangers in her neighborhood. We have stories from Conrad Krieger on how food and water can help you stay healthy and safe when playing sports. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells us how to shelter from the storm. Melissa Kay also brings us a thoughtful story on protecting yourself from the buzzing, biting, and stinging insects of summer. Pete Schwabba brings us a laugh or two with his classic cinema pick of the week. And later, Cody James appeared on a recent episode of Mino and the Mayor, and we get to share some of his music with you. First, did you know that according to data from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, there were 10 heat-related deaths in Wisconsin in 2023, and more than 750 Wisconsinites visited the emergency room with heat-related illnesses that year? Keep that in mind as we start to heat up this summer. Staying hydrated is the most important defense. Joanne Krulatz opens up our issue of New Wisco Weekend with a hot take that has nothing to do with the summer sun, but everything to do with burns and staying safe.
Summer is here, which means more grilling, backyard campfires, and burning brush. UW Health Adult Trauma Dr. Patrick Sheehan offers up some tips on how to prevent fire-related injuries.
Keeping an eye towards the safety of any source of heat or open flame, just making sure that the area doesn't have unnecessary bottles of fuel, canisters of gas, loose leaf litter, or other flammable objects, not using anything that is not specifically labeled as a fire starter to start a fire. The use of gasoline, diesel fuel, any other sort of flammable accelerant is extremely dangerous and probably one of the most common reasons that people end up coming under our care. Keeping the area clear of tripping hazards, anything else that could make the area dangerous. We end up having to take care of a lot of people who accidentally trip and fall into an open flame. And that's often because a chair leg is sticking in the way or a cooler is in the way. If it's at all possible, having a water source such as a garden hose or a bucket of water, or if there is a fire extinguisher around, just knowing where it is and that it's within easy grabbing distance if needed.
Sheehan says if you do experience a burn, don't hesitate to reach out to a local care provider to find out what treatment is needed. From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
See the curtains hanging in the window in the evening on a Friday night. Little light is shining through the window, lets me know everything's alright. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind.
As the temperatures rise in the summer, of course, hydration is very important, especially if you're an athlete. Here's Conrad Krieger with that story.
Nutrition is very important to any athlete. I talk with Mark Hewson with Bell and Sports Medicine about nutrition in athletes.
How to get the energy in their bodies sometimes days before. You know, I think they have to look at what sport they're in. When do they need to perform? Is it a practice? Is it a meet? And what are you trying to do? So when I say that is, you know, if it's a football game and it's Friday night, you know, we just got through week one and saw some kids that were cramping and it was 70 degrees out. You know, it wasn't 90 degrees out. So it's a matter of hydrating days before. The same thing goes, what energy are you putting in to get, you know, protein and not fats? You know, you don't want something just sitting in your stomach and feeling like you got a rock in there. So it's very important to get that food in there in a timely fashion and then knowing, hey, is this going to be used quickly? Is it going to be used long term? You know, is my sport, are you running a sprint? And is that all you need to do? Or do you need to last for 3 hours? So it there's a science to what are you eating, when are you eating it, and how are you using that energy.
My follow-up was, how important is it to stay hydrated throughout the day, especially like game days? It's super important.
Yeah, great call out. You know, here just yesterday we were hitting the 90s and probably the hottest day of the summer. We did get storms earlier, but as we're doing this program, you know, it's low 80s but getting real humid. And it's not about saying, oh, geez, now it's getting hot, I'm going to start hydrating. Because if you're already behind now and you have practice here in an hour or whatever, you're probably going to struggle just finishing the practice. You may cramp up, you know, and a lot of people say, oh, is cramping really that big a deal? It's just in your calves. Have a calf problem, you know, we sometimes all get them at the middle of the night and it's bad enough. Now get one on the middle of a field or a court, and then think about if it starts affecting you in your abdominals. That's when you know it's really serious. So yeah, it's a matter with hydration. You know, everyone says, what's the science with that? It's not a matter of just pumping your body full of fluid because you can overhydrate. It's a matter of how does your body use it? Your body and your stomach can only empty out so much water or liquid at a time. So, for example, if it's just water, it's great. That's all you have. Water is great. But you can put, you know, you can use a Gatorade or a Powerade. You know, Gatorade's got product in there that's going to replace potassium, sodium. It's called electrolytes. And that's sometimes a key on these hot, humid days when your body is sweating and using up more of that liquid.
What kind of advice would you give an athlete trying to eat like a healthier lifestyle?
I think start slow. You know, I think sometimes if you start too quick and you get too aggressive, your body does want to hold to it. I think the easy one is hydration. Get rid of the sodas, get rid of the high energy drinks, stick with basic water. If you start drinking a lot of water throughout the day, yes, a lot of times you'll say, man, I have to go to the bathroom more. That's true. But water is going to be great for you. I think going to a balanced diet, eating breakfast, eating a regular lunch, knowing when, hey, your activity is, okay, maybe for, let's say, football at this time of the year, I have to practice from 3:30 to 6 o'clock. But on game night, now I'm playing at 7 o'clock. So you need to know when that food's going in and when is it going to be in use.
That was Mark Hewson from Bell and Sports Medicine. With New Wisco Weekend, I'm Conrad Krieger.
Thanks for spending some of your New Wisco Weekend with us on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS and the Civic Media app.
One of my favorite parts of New Wisco Weekend is our commentary from Amanda Nimmer. You never know what she's going to come out with.
It's no surprise that with nicer weather, everyone's going outside. I mean, we've had cabin fever for months now. Winter lasts like 8 months in this state. So yeah, with nicer weather, we want to go outside. And that's the beauty of late spring, early summer, is opening the windows and suddenly your neighborhood comes to life. Everyone's laughing, screaming, playing outside, on the sidewalk, crossing the road, playing in their yards. So when you're driving through neighborhoods, pay attention, and slow the f*** down. Here's why I'm being aggressive. I have lived in my house for almost 7 years now. I live on a corner lot at an unmarked intersection. For those who don't know, means there are no stop signs, no yield signs. It's just a four-way crossing that you have to hope another car isn't coming by if you choose not to slow down and look first. Almost 7 years I have lived here, and there have been 6 car crashes at that corner. That corner alone. 6 car crashes. 6! Because you people aren't slowing down. One of those crashes, someone was going so fast down a 25 mile per hour marked road, okay, in the city, that when the accident happened, their car flew into my kitty corner neighbor's yard and almost hit their building. I'd say that's about a good, 15, 20 feet from the road. Could have been mine. Could have been my house. Could have been my corner. We built a fence, right? We built a fence. I'm going off track here. The theme is totally lost. We built a fence, okay? And the rules of the town of which I live in, Manitowoc, is that your front yard, it has to be 4 feet max, and anything else can be like 5 or 6. The front of my house is the shortest part of my yard. The side is where the entirety of my yard is, right? Okay, when we built that fence, after I'd say 3 accidents have happened at this point, someone complained to the city. By the way, another rule of building fences on a corner lot is that you have to have a 15 feet from the corner to the start of your fence section where the fence cannot be built, just for people to be able to see as they pass. Like, fine, I lose 15 feet of yard usage, whatever. So we have that, like, oblong off. I don't know the proper terms. I'm frustrated at venting. So we followed all those rules. Then someone complained that they were unable to see the road despite us following the rules. And the city came out and told us we had to rebuild the fence at 4 feet all around. No matter how we tried to fight it, we had no choice but to knock it down to 4 feet. Because somebody who normally flies through this area going way over the recommended 25 miles per hour, not recommended, the law of 25 miles per hour, complained because they had to slow down when crossing that section. And I'm over here thinking to myself, good, because you guys won't let us get a stop sign. We've tried. Good, I'm glad you had to slow down. They couldn't just fly by that fast anymore. So long story long, because people don't want to take the time to look out for moving objects in the road and pedestrians and basically anyone but themselves, I now have a corner of my yard my kids can't play in because I like my children and don't want them to get hit by a car. And a way shorter fence, but that's a whole other frustration that has nothing to do with summer safety, which is our theme this week, right? So slow the f*** down, guys! There's people out and about, and in my particular case, there is a high school 2 blocks over. Lots of children in the area. Keep your eyes open, keep your ears on, and look around! From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and I guess, there you go. I don't know. Come back next week, I'll have something better.
Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. Those days of soda and pretzels and beer. Roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. Dust off the sun and moon and sing a song of cheer. Just fill your basket full of sandwiches and wieners. Then lock the house up, now you're set. And on the beach you'll see the girls in their bikinis. As cute as ever, but they never get them wet. Roll out.
When we come back, our cover story on a movement to make sure all first responders have EpiPens available at all times. First, health officials are reminding Wisconsinites to wear a helmet when they're out riding bikes, skateboards, or electric scooters this summer. They say an average of 70% of the kids who were hospitalized at American Family Children's Hospital following a bike accident were not wearing a helmet when they crashed. They also say nearly half of the head injuries resulting from bike accidents could have been prevented if the rider had been wearing a helmet. As the weather starts to warm up, they're hoping kids will take more precautions
options to protect themselves. So do you need some tips to choose a helmet for your child? Well, let your child pick out the helmet that he or she likes. Choose a bright color to help drivers see them. It should be snug, but not too tight. And the helmet should not move from side to side when your child shakes his head. Replace any helmet that's damaged or that's been involved in a crash. This is New Wisco Weekend.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds signed two election bills May 2nd, one of which includes provisions for poll workers to challenge the citizenship of voters in the polling place, a ban on ranked choice voting, and a higher bar for third parties. Among several new provisions, House File 954 authorizes state election officials to access federal agency databases and gives local election officials authority to challenge citizenship of a registered voter at the polls. A recent presidential executive order now allows access to those databases. If a voter is not able to provide documentation at the polls, they would be forced to use a provisional ballot. Only days before the 2024 election, the Secretary of State's office challenged the eligibility of over 2,100 registered voters. Most were naturalized citizens or data errors, while 277 were registered non-citizens. Of those, only 35 voted out of 1.7 million ballots cast. Pro-voter groups argue such mass challenges intimidate legitimate naturalized citizens from voting. Two provisions in 954 attempt to protect major party power. It bans ranked choice voting for any election in Iowa and raises the bar for third parties to field candidates. Third parties now need to garner 2% of the vote in three consecutive elections to qualify for the ballot. We have more on HF 954 at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Summer. It's our Scotty Summer statewide text to win contest on your local Civic Media radio station. For a complete list of contest rules, log on civicmedia.us/contest-terms.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend on Civic Media stations WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Did you know that the Wisconsin Department of Health Services has a webpage dedicated to staying safe in the summer? It's got summer safety tips where food is concerned, recreational water safety, hot weather in the sun, firework safety, and even advice for interacting with animals and creepy crawlers. Find out more by visiting dhs.wisconsin.gov. Here's Pete Schwab's classic movie pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwab's classic movie pick of the week.
This week's pick takes us back to 1976 on the last day of school for a group of partying, bell-bottom-wearing teenagers in Texas. If you're a movie buff, you might have already guessed, but this week's pick is Dazed and Confused. Remember when you were nervous about going to your first party? Or when you got made fun of because you mispronounced the name of a band? If those were the type of things that stressed you out, imagine what the kids in Dazed and Confused went through when they realized their end-of-the-year kegger was kiboshed, forcing them to improvise. No small task when most of them are under some type of influence. That is pretty much the plot of Dazed and Confused. Simple, but nuanced, with great characters. Jason London plays Randall Pink Floyd, a high school football star who refuses to sign a coach's pledge not to drink or do drugs over the summer as a championship season looms. A solid ensemble of up-and-coming actors grace the screen in Dazed and Confused. There is, of course, Matthew McConaughey in his first feature film role as Wooderson, a guy a few years removed from high school who exudes small-town charm.
All right, all right, all right.
Oh, Christ.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Cool. You heard about the party being busted, right?
Oh, yeah.
Not to worry. There's a new fiesta in the making as we speak. It's out at the Moon Tower. Full kegs. Everybody's gonna be there. You ought to go.
Okay.
Okay, we'll be there.
Okay.
Say you need a ride?
No, I got my own car. Thanks.
Yeah, well, listen, you ought to ditch the two geeks you're in the car with now and get in with us, but that's all right. We'll worry about that later. I will see you there, all right?
Bye.
I love those redheads, man.
I know you. We had geography together, remember?
Oh, great. Oh, God. So creepy. Ugh.
Why are you smiling?
I thought he was cute.
Oh, that's disgusting.
You thought he was cute?
Disgusting. Do you realize when he graduated, we were like 3 years old?
Like Wooderson, many of the characters in this week's film, just like many teenagers, think they have all the answers, which gives them an innocent, fun-loving energy. The cast is also comprised of Mila Jovovich, Parker Posey, Cole Hauser, and a young Ben Affleck. This is director Richard Linklater's third feature film and follow-up to his critically acclaimed Slacker. Born and raised in Houston, Texas, Linklater is a self-taught auteur who decided he wanted to be a director while working on an offshore oil rig. He is one of the most critically acclaimed directors of his era due to his unique approach to storytelling. His films tell stories of everyday people, and his characters are authentic and relatable, and oftentimes more important to the director than the plot of his films. Linklater is currently at work on a project that will take 20 years to complete, which will put the director in his 80s at the premiere. His film Boyhood took 12 years to complete and was Oscar nominated. The stories behind the scenes of Dazed and Confused are almost as interesting as the film itself. Mila Jovovich was just 17 at the time of filming and eloped with co-star Sean Andrews. Jovovich's mother got the marriage annulled immediately. According to the Internet Movie Database, the word man is used 203 times and there are 59 F-bombs in the film. The film has a fantastic soundtrack, but it was expensive, with almost 20% of the budget going toward music, including the song you're hearing right now. Dazed and Confused made money, but not right out of the gate. It was considered a box office flop. Dazed and Confused is one of Quentin Tarantino's favorite films, and according to director Kevin Smith, Linklater's Slacker is what made him want to make movies. And finally, not a big surprise, but the film's title comes from a Led Zeppelin song. Dazed and Confused is this week's classic movie pick of the week. Have a great summer, everyone. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabe.
With warm weather comes the increased possibility of bugs and bug bites. Melissa Kay has some important information for us.
Bug bites may be common in the summer when you're spending more time outdoors and there are lots of bugs to watch out for.
So sometimes you see a lot of different bugs throughout the summer, and there's a variety of things that can sting or bite you. Sometimes there'll be mosquitoes, bees, ticks, spiders.
That's Olivia Bishop, a pharmacy resident with Aspirus. She said for mild reactions to bites and stings, you should be able to use over-the-counter treatments to find relief from itching or pain.
For the itching that often comes with these bug bites, you can purchase hydrocortisone cream over-the-counter, as well as calamine lotion. Those are two options that can help decrease the itching.
Bishop said oral allergy medication can also be used, as well as ice for swelling and ibuprofen or acetaminophen for pain. Severe allergic reactions can also happen.
Swelling around your face, eyes, lips, those could be signs of more serious reactions. The development of hives on your body if you experience nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, as well as anaphylaxis, so tightening of the throat if you have difficulty breathing.
If you experience any of these symptoms, you should call 911. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Melissa Kay.
When the sirens go off or an emergency alert pops up on your phone telling you to take shelter from a tornado warning, do you know where to go? Meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells us where.
Always go to the lowest level, like a basement if you have it, or the ground floor. You want to try to pick a spot that's got as many walls between you and the outside as possible. That may be a closet, under the stairs, in the bathroom. Most tornadoes tend to tear through the upper levels and rip out exterior walls as the roof blows off. Then flying debris becomes missiles, so you're going to want to find something to cover yourself up with. And of course, get low and cover your head. If you're stuck driving, pull over and get inside. Seek shelter. Don't stay in your car or go under an overpass. You're seriously safer getting into a ditch. Stay safe. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You can find the New Wisco Weekend podcast anywhere you get your podcast and take it along with you anywhere with the Civic Media app. Download the app today in the Apple Store or Google Play Store.
Coming up on New Wisco Weekend, an emotional cover story. We'll be back right after the news.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. More than 50 people were killed and injured in overnight Russian strikes across Ukraine. The two sides were also unable to complete a planned prisoner exchange, each blaming the other, and ABC's Martha Raddatz in Kyiv spoke with Ukraine's president.
President Zelensky does not believe Vladimir Putin wants peace and is pleading with President Trump to impose stronger sanctions to force the Russian president into real negotiations to stop this war.
Kilmar Abrego Garcia, the Maryland man mistakenly deported to Venezuela, is back in the U.S., but he's in federal custody. He's facing two charges related to human trafficking. His attorney called them preposterous. Police in Los Angeles used tear gas to disperse protesters after immigration enforcement led to more than 40 arrests. And President Trump told reporters he doesn't have interest in speaking with Elon Musk right now amid their high-profile fallout. This is ABC News.
It's the Brewers and the Padres. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers and the San Diego Padres on tap for tonight at AmFam Field in Milwaukee. The crew with a frustrating 2-0 loss last night to the Padres. Milwaukee, shut out, had only four hits, leaving 10 on base, despite six solid innings pitched by right-hander Chad Patrick.
Pitchers are their biggest critics, you know. You can take a lot from these first 2 months, and you're always trying to build on everything from certain standpoints of developing, you know, pitches and stuff. But I think everything's just coming along great so far.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy on Chad Patrick's performance.
I thought it was a big night for him. I'm really disappointed we didn't score. I'm disappointed that, you know, we didn't get those big hits. I don't think we're as relentless sometimes. I don't know. I didn't feel that. Their pitching staff was really good.
Now, tomorrow's game has an early start time. First pitch at 12:05 and will be televised on Roku. From American Family Field in Milwaukee, with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Not sure if Steve Carell has big feet, but his shoes will be tough to fill. No one knows that more than Domhnall Gleeson, who will play the boss on a new spinoff of NBC's The Office. The Paper will feature the same documentary film crew from The Office, even though it was never really featured, as they record the daily happenings of a dying local newspaper, and it will be brought to you by the same team that brought you the American version of The Office. Gleeson, the son of actor Brendan Gleeson, knows the challenges he faces. The actor said he recently received encouraging words from Carell's Office co-star, John Krasinski, who reassured the actor that he was in great hands with executive producer Greg Daniels. Daniels successfully rebooted Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant's show of the same title from the UK. Although the title is different, the challenges faced in The Paper are the same faced by those who ran a fictitious paper. Company. There is no release date yet, but The Paper will premiere in September on Peacock. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny, highs in the upper 70s today. Slight chance of a thunderstorm this afternoon. Chance of a storm tonight with a low around 55. Showers and thunderstorms on Sunday with a high near 75. Clearing out tomorrow night with a low around 52. Monday, showers in 67.
It's 60 at our studios.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, the Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to health care, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees, I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome from the show Young Sheldon, actor Lance Barber, and we'll talk about the amazing career and life of Michael J. Fox. We are going to light it like it's Monday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend. For WISS and WGBW, I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It's time now for our cover story, which comes out of Wood County in central Wisconsin, but will hopefully end up helping everyone with known and unknown allergies across our state. Melissa Kay talks with the Miller family, who's working to make positive changes to state law after losing their son when epinephrine could have saved him.
I'm Melissa Kay, and I am speaking with Mark and Kristen Mueller from Grand Rapids, Wisconsin. Welcome, Mark and Kristen.
Thanks for having us on your show.
Thank you.
Now, Mark, you and Kristen are working to help create a statewide law that requires all first responders and law enforcement to be able to carry epinephrine to combat anaphylaxis. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Can you share your story about what is driving you, because this is a passion project for both of you, and I'd like to share your story with our listeners.
Sure. November 23rd of 2024, our 20-year-old son, Andrew Mueller, accidentally bought peanut butter M&Ms. They were in a holiday packaging, and he didn't recognize that it said peanut butter on them. He had an unknown peanut allergy, had never eaten peanut butter in his life, and he ended up dying from anaphylactic shock. From the time that he ate the peanut butter M&Ms until he died was about an hour, realistically. The actual date of death was 2 days later, but the first responders had made it to our house within 30 minutes, but the first responders at the time were not allowed to carry epinephrine. Both the police and the, I don't know if I have the terminology correct, EMT or EMR, that made it to our house were not allowed to carry epinephrine. It wasn't until the paramedics got there with the ambulance that the epinephrine was able to be administered, but by then it was already too late. He had airwaves had been shut off to his brain for too long by then. So
I'm so sorry for your tragic loss, and that you feel that you had to do this, but this could save other people's children's lives or other lives. Tell me a little bit about the law that you're hoping to pass, because right now first responders aren't always equipped with epinephrine in their first aid kits, as you shared.
So many times, you know, first responders know how to use epinephrine, but for whatever reason, towns, they just don't have it, whether it be the cost of epinephrine or
stability issues sometimes.
Yeah, because epinephrine doesn't last forever. So, you know, for the different typically financial reasons, they don't have epinephrine. So because of, you know, obviously losing our son, we've decided to, you know, make this a quest to make it so that all first responders do have it. It could have made the difference in Andrew's making it.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the work that you've been doing, because it's only been roughly 6 months here. And that's a pretty short amount of time to be able to try to get something like this going.
So 2 days before Christmas, I called Senator Teston and talked to him about what I was thinking. And his team with Scott Krug on board, they drafted a bill that would make it so that all first responders would have epinephrine available to them, so that, you know, police, fire, rescue, even forest preserve, anybody that would be considered a first responder is going to have epinephrine available to them.
And now this is different than Dillon's Law, which was passed in 2017, which is almost like a Good Samaritan law, that anybody that's trained to administer it is protected to be able to use it, correct?
Correct.
And the law that you are hoping and working toward passing would be a statewide law that requires they carry it.
Correct. That makes it so that first responders actually do have it. You know, and it's really, you know, there's so many of the unknown allergies where this can come into play. Like in Andrew's case, we didn't know that he was allergic to peanut butter. We didn't have epinephrine in the house. And so many times there's that unknown allergy, and not to mention that anybody can become allergic to anything at any time.
Right, because allergies can develop at any point in your life.
Right, absolutely.
And I think another big factor is the fact that just minutes mean so much. Right. The difference between the first responder showing up and the ambulance showing up was about 10 minutes, 7 to 10 minutes. And every single one of those minutes counted when the police officer who was the first to arrive, Andrew was still conscious, not talking, having a hard time breathing, but he was still there, still awake. And so when the police officer showed up is about the time that he lost consciousness, and it was yet another 7 to 10 minutes before anyone arrived with the epinephrine. So those minutes were very key.
And food allergies, you know, the response time, you actually have a little bit more time. A bee sting can be as fast as 15 minutes. So if somebody was stung by a bee, you know, literally minutes matter. Every minute matters.
Which was the case for Dillon's family and Dillon.
Oh, Dillon's right, family because from Mishicot, Wisconsin. Okay. He was an 18-year-old boy that was stung by a bee. And he ended up dying from anaphylaxis as well, which is where Dillon's Law was created from.
Mm-hmm. And when people know that they are allergic to, say, bee stings or things like that, a lot of times they carry it on them themselves or their parent if they're under, you know, a certain age. But not being able to have it available to our first responders seems something that we just should have.
It really was one of those things that when we went to the hospital, Andrew was an organ donor. And when we went to the hospital for the organ donation, while we were waiting, we had, of course, a lot of time to talk to the nurses and staff at the hospital in Madison. And one of the things that I brought up was, you know, it just seems odd that a policeman wouldn't have it. And after going through this, I ended up talking to our local sheriff, Sean Becker, and he fortunately has helped us out quite a bit. He personally called all 72 sheriffs in the state of Wisconsin, and in the state of Wisconsin, there's only one county that currently carries epinephrine as their regular practice, which is scary to think that.
Wow.
And that's Columbia County, and soon soon Wood County Sheriff will have their epinephrine. They're on board with equipping their officers with deputies, not officers.
Right. But now in your municipality there in Grand Rapids, now your first responders and police are able to carry epinephrine. And this has come about because of the tragedy that your family went through, correct?
Correct.
So tell me a little bit about that.
So I talked with both the police chief, Joe Zerflew, and the fire chief, and through their efforts and the efforts of a good friend of mine who is on the Police and Fire Commission board, who talked with both of them to say that this is something that should definitely be a thing. So with the efforts of, you know, Bob Pyatt, Joe Zerflew, and Bobby Donahue, who's on that board, has gotten us as far as we've gotten with the local, so that they actually do already have their epinephrine.
That's wonderful. And that's thanks to the Giving Back Incorporated Foundation, or the nonprofit, and then also United Emergency Medical Response trained the officers, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. So your officers there have the training, they have the needed medical response equipment with the epinephrine, but this legislation would require it statewide so that all families would be protected.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Hmm. So what can listeners do to try to help?
Well, I think the first thing is, you know, talking to your local police, and helping to urge the local police to jump on board and, you know, to have epinephrine available. When we were talking with another friend in the Rome area, and you know, of course, the terminology came up: how much is a life worth? And
you don't know when it's going to be someone you know. You just don't think it's going to happen to you, and it all happened so quickly. Andrew was a very healthy kid. He had a little bit of underlying asthma, but as a whole, he lived very well with it. But you don't think about it happening to you. And until it does, you don't know as much as you should about it. And that's really who we're trying to protect, is the people that are undiagnosed. Although I've heard a lot of stories about people that have those allergies and known allergies, and sometimes they can get a little careless and not take it everywhere they go. And then the off chance that even they, you know, don't have it, it's just a protection for everyone.
And like you said, minutes count. Even if they know and they say, I need it, if the first responders aren't carrying it, it doesn't help.
Exactly.
When Chris was on the phone with 911, she even said to the 911 operator that he's having an allergic reaction and we need epinephrine. And of course, if the officers don't have it, there's no way that they could get it.
Right. Well, I do really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today. And then also the efforts that you're putting forth through your tragedy to help others. It's a wonderful thing, and I hope that they pass this.
Yeah, so do we. We really do.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time.
For New WSCA Weekend, I'm Melissa Kay.
Assembly Bill 128 was introduced on March 11th of 2025, and Senate Bill 156 was introduced on March 26th. Both the Assembly and Senate bills require first responders to be trained in how to recognize signs and symptoms of severe allergic reactions, along with other training. It will also allow the Department of Health Services to distribute epinephrine delivery systems, such as EpiPens, to first responders. Coming up in just a moment, we've got a little music to make your day. This is New WSCA Weekend.
Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be tricky. So here at WGBW, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WGBW.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you got an event to share, hit us up by emailing info@WGBW.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds signed two election bills May 2nd, one of which includes provisions for poll workers to challenge the citizenship of voters in the polling place, a ban on ranked choice voting, and a higher bar for third parties. Among several new provisions, House File 954 authorizes state election officials to access federal agency databases and gives local election officials authority to challenge citizenship of a registered voter at the polls. A recent presidential executive order now allows access to those databases. If a voter is not able to provide documentation at the polls, they would be forced to use a provisional ballot. Only days before the 2024 election, the Secretary of State's office challenged the eligibility of over 2,100 registered voters. Most were naturalized citizens or data errors, while 277 were registered non-citizens. Of those, only 35 voted out of 1.7 million ballots cast. Pro-voter groups argue such mass challenges intimidate legitimate naturalized citizens from voting. Two provisions in 954 attempt to protect major party power. It bans ranked choice voting for any election in Iowa and raises the bar for third parties to field candidates. Third parties now need to garner 2% of the vote in three consecutive elections to qualify for the ballot. We have more on HF 954 at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. You've heard of one-man bands, right? Well, Cody James doesn't walk around with a drum on his back, but he is a single musician who creates and records with just himself. He recently appeared on Mino and the Mayor. Here he is with Jim Schmidt, Daryl Burnett, and Dennis Peters.
I want to welcome you. Welcome.
Hello.
And you are Cody James. You're not bringing in three pieces.
Yeah.
It's just you're the guy.
Yeah, it's just me. So the solo thing is all me. I just released a new song a couple weeks ago, and I'm playing drums on it. I play bass on it. I produced it at home. I have a studio at home. I did everything from the ground up. No outside influence, you know, except for like the music that I listen to and whatnot.
Cody, I'm curious.
Yeah.
You released a record last week. It must be very freeing for an artist to be able to have the ability to get it out there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, especially at my level where I don't have a label and I don't have, you know, anybody's, you know, hands in my pockets or anything. I can do whatever I want, you know. I can do anything I want and I can, you know, do anything. And it kind of can be a double-edged sword because anybody can do anything. So you got to cut through a lot of noise. Yeah. But you got to not worry about that. You know, I'm not doing this to cut through noise, right? I'm doing this because I'm passionate about music and I have something to say and, you know, really better people's lives. And so if I can do that with just one person, that's success to me. You know, I always ask myself, what is my motivation for doing this? For anything, you know? And definitely with music and what I'm doing, I try to keep it as pure as I can, you know? This song that just came out, Thousand Miles, is the first single to an album that's coming out September 5th. And that's going to be 100% homegrown. Here we go. Here's Thousand Miles. A thousand cars and a thousand signs. A thousand clouds and a thousand pines. We're moving close to infinity.
A thousand rivers, a thousand trees, a thousand birds and a thousand bees pass by. This wild frame is home, and I want to lose myself with you. And I want to love you just like you want me to. A thousand miles in a thousand ways, a thousand smiles in 1,000 days with you. My level of purity beckons your name, and I want to lose myself with you. And I want to love you just like you want me to. Oh, 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 oh. A thousand miles and a thousand smiles, a thousand miles and a thousand smiles, a thousand miles and a thousand miles, a thousand miles and 1,000 smiles with you.
Wow. Cody, that was awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I forgot to ask, was there a person that said that inspired you to pick up the voice or the guitar?
It was definitely, like I said, it was definitely Kiss. I think they were the big one in the beginning. I wanted to be a big rock star, but I love Nirvana as well. I remember being in third grade and wearing this, like, you know, big baggy Nirvana shirt with baggy pants. I was always just kind of different from other kids, you know, for whatever reason. And I just knew that I had to pursue it. I don't know. I just had this thing inside of me that I knew that that's what I was going to do. There was never any other option. There was never a plan B. There was never any of that. You have to stick with it. You have to be okay with being a little bit different. Right. And there, you'll find other people who are a little bit different. Yeah, and then you'll have your group and you'll be good to go, you know? And sometimes it'll be tough and sometimes you'll fall on your face and sometimes you'll have embarrassing moments and you'll suck and whatever. But you got to get through. You have to go through that and to see the other side of it.
How would you like to bring us out for the weekend?
So I think I released a song. This is on my EP that came out in November. It's the only acoustic track on the album. It's called Wasteland. And what that is all about is I love to meditate and be all inside of myself and try to, you know, figure myself out as much as I can and shine a little bit of light in the gooey, ooey darkness that's in there.
Wow.
And I call that place the Wasteland, okay? And then so I'm always in the Wasteland, okay? And okay. So this song is called Wasteland.
Fantastic.
I need this.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
Thanks for listening. You bet.
Take me down to the wasteland. Let's cut the path to go. We can't avoid it forever. Confine me in its glow. Whoa. And we need some courage to get there. It's dark and ambiguous, but
What if I contribute my
Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend, our look so at summer safety. New Wisco Weekend is produced, written, and directed by Lisa Hale. Our executive producer is Todd Michaels, with features by Melissa Kay, Conrad Krieger, Brittany Merlot, Joanne Krulatz, Pete Schwaba, and commentator Amanda Nimmer. Special appearances this week by Jim Schmidt, Daryl Burnett, and Dennis Peters. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, email me at lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The sound in Los Angeles Friday, where police used tear gas to disperse demonstrators. The group was protesting citywide immigration enforcement action. More than 40 people were taken into custody. Mayor Karen Bass criticized the federal immigration tactics.
It happened multiple places in the city, and what it does is that it sows a sense of terror throughout the community.
Kilmar Abrego Garcia, the Maryland man mistakenly deported by the Trump administration to El Salvador, is back in the U.S., but he's back in federal custody, facing two federal counts linked to a human smuggling ring. His attorney called the charges preposterous. President Trump told reporters Friday he's not interested in talking to Elon Musk as the two continue their high-profile falling out. And two people in custody in connection with what authorities say was a plot to carry out a shooting at a high school graduation in Michigan. This is ABC News.